Life is funny times. I turn 40 in December. I've probably told you that. I'm a little fixed on that. I know there's some of you who think, no big deal, 40. Some of you think that's older than dirt, so I'm in a weird place, and most of you can relate. I had decided that this was going to be my big year. I was going to end up December 9th in the best shape of my life, you know, with this church just rocking along and everything on high gear, and just I had it all planned out. And then 2 weeks ago, you know what happened to Jody. And sort of my, as I've said to several folks, my wheelbarrow got turned over. Now, maybe you've not worked with a wheelbarrow, but when your wheelbarrow gets turned over, it's really hard to get it straightened back up. And that's a bit how I felt over these last 2 weeks, like my wheelbarrow is turned over and everything I had all set up ready to move forward kind of got spilled out. But God has begun to do a work in me, and I think that whenever a preacher stands before a congregation, the scripture better be moving him before he calls on it to move the people. There have been a few times in my time of preaching that I've departed from that, and I've noticed the difference. And I want you to know that tonight I'm going to turn to Ephesians, not because I want to avoid Jesus' difficult words about eating of his flesh and blood, but because I was particularly moved by the words of that Ephesians passage. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, that's a interesting, haunting phrase, making the most of opportunity. And in one sense, in the physical realm and sort of our human understanding, it could look as if, wow, it's going to be really hard for me to do and make the most of opportunities because of Jody's recovery and all that's happened in the last 2 weeks. And yet, God has begun again to hit a resounding chord in my life, which is relationship. You have to ask yourself, what exactly are we to make the most opportunity of? What is the Lord's desire for our time? What are we to labor for and unto? Paul says in Ephesians, therefore, don't be foolish, but understand the Lord's will. What is the Lord's will? And again in my life, I find God beginning to move me to recognize the importance of relationships. Now, it starts in our homes. It starts with those most intimate of relationships. No real good ministry can be done outside the home if you don't start inside the home. And so as I reflect upon making the most of opportunities, I realize that God has not turned my cart upside down, turned my wheelbarrow over, but in fact has given me a golden opportunity to minister to my wife and to my children in her absence, in a way that I might have overlooked, quite frankly, at the start of a school year, at the start of a fall, excited about a church that's on the move. Now, friends, if you're a guy and you're married, don't wait for your wife to break her femur to learn to take care of her and to relationally nurture her and to minister to her. Believe me, take it from me, that's not the easiest way to go about it. But what I've begun to see is that God is using even this, as He does all circumstances, doesn't He, in our lives, to remind us of what His will is. Make the most of every opportunity, Paul says. know what the Lord's will is. Well, let me tell you, I'm hearing it loud and clear. It's relationships. He's got me focused on ministering to the woman who ministers to both me and to you Sunday after Sunday. It's relationships. We're talking about things like Alpha, and we're talking about ministry expos, and we're sharing about relationships with missionaries and all sorts of things that God has gotten us on. But as a body, corporately tonight, can I say to you that we need to be about relationships? Whatever program, whatever structure, whatever time commitments that we as a body decide upon, it is about, and always should be, relationships. Now, look what Paul says next. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which leads to debauchery. We understand about that, I think. We all live in a college town. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, Paul is definitely drawing a contrast between getting drunk and being filled with the Spirit. Yet, you remember that on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were thought to be drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning because they looked because of the way they were acting. So I'm not exactly sure that it's the contrast as in the way you look. I've gotten lots of prayer lately. People have wanted to pray for me. The Christian Pastors Association prayed for me Thursday. The launch team prayed for me last Saturday. And many times when I've gotten up from that prayer time, I felt lightheaded. And if you know me, if you pray for me and I'll go, whoa. You know, it's just like sometimes, like right now, it feels like the Holy Spirit's pretty strong. I feel a little drunk right now, okay? I've not been drinking anything. But I feel a little bit drunk with the Spirit. And I've had that experience. But the thing about the difference in that contrast is that unlike when we're drunk, when we're taking some sort of a chemical that is altering our mind and body, those things tend to isolate us. Even if you're out with your friends, you get drunk enough, you pretty much feel all alone. In the Spirit, when we're filled with the Spirit, it's quite a different experience. When the Spirit fills us, and this word be filled with the Spirit is the present tense in the Greek, it's the continual filling of the Spirit. As we're filled with the Spirit, we're not isolated. We're very much connected. And there's a sense in which we are more aware of the other members of the body of Christ around us. Be filled with the Spirit, Paul says. And I think there's a tie back to relationship. It is through the Spirit. It is through us individually surrendering ourselves daily to ask the Holy Spirit to fill us afresh that we will be empowered to reach out and to be in relationships with the body of Christ. It's not a human thing. It's not our own effort. We're not that lovely, most of us. Mary Lee Seaholster is pretty lovely, but in the flesh and in the Spirit, you know, some of us aren't as lovely. But in the flesh, but in the Spirit, as the Spirit of God begins to minister to us and to fill us, we begin to feel that connection with each other. I was talking to Jody and I said, "Babe, I'm tired. You know, I got to go do that sermon. Man, I'm tired already." And she said, "You know, we were talking about different things and she said, "You know, it's your fault." Did I not express? I'm not exactly, I need some energy here this evening, you know. She said, "What do you mean it's my fault?" She said, "Well, you prayed for community. You've been praying and preaching and talking and banging the drum about being community and being the body of Christ to one another." And she said, "And God's using my break to build community." And He is. As we're being filled with the Spirit, and the love and the, that I know you have for her and that you've expressed to me and to her and to each other, that is the Spirit filling us, working through us, using us to learn to love each other. Look what he says then, just to prove my point, that he's talking about relationship here. Paul is bringing this whole living out the Christian faith to a close at the end of chapter 5. And he says, after he says, be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now, for those who are strict hymn singers, James Manley, let the reader understand, notice that it also says spiritual songs. Amen. And for those who are totally into spiritual songs and things contemporary, Rick Gehry, let the reader understand. Notice that it says hymns there. It's all sorts, isn't it? It's psalms and hymns, and I'm joking with these guys, but they have, we all have tendencies, and yet it is an outflow of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, all sorts of things flowing out of us as we are filled by the Spirit, blessing each other, blessing the body of Christ. My mom is back here, sitting in the lime-colored shirt there. That's Kay Farmer. That's my mom. And this is her first chance to be with us since we've been servants of Christ. And I'm going to tell a story on her, but I didn't ask her permission because I was afraid she would say no. But it illustrates this. It illustrates this, and then I'm just about done. When I was a boy, my mom spiritually fed me. She really did speak into my life in an amazing way. And I've told her that many times, but it's so true. When I was an early preteen, teenager and stuff, there were times where it was more difficult for her to minister to me, as you can relate if you've had a teenager. And my mom was always positive. She would always start the day very excited, very bubbly. And she would come in singing, and she woke us up. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. She would sing songs like that to us as we were getting up. I know. If you're not a morning person, you can understand. And there were times where, as you were going through things in your day, you know, or whatever, she would break into song, you know, things about no weapon being formed against us and about that it's going to be the Lord's glory. And she would sing these songs of encouragement to her children. And I was thinking about the sermon tonight. I thought about that as a picture of what we're called to be to each other. As the body of Christ, metaphorically singing songs of praise, songs of encouragement to each other. Maybe even breaking out in hymn and singing a hymn to each other. How encouraging would it be in the midst of a crisis that you're going through to not have necessarily somebody say it's going to be okay, but to start singing How Great Thou Art, or Amazing Grace, or Your Love, Lord, reaches to the heavens. But that picture Paul has, if we're filled with the Spirit, that we would literally be ministering in the relationships in the body of Christ as we literally sing out songs into each other's lives. Songs of encouragement. Songs of praise. Songs of reminder that God is greater. You know what I need most? As I walk through this and Jody walks through this break, I need to hear God's going to use this. Jody's going to be stronger than ever. Christ is going to bless your family. And you're going to get through this crisis. We need that. We need it. But you need it. We need to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in each other's lives. The time is critical. The opportunities are few. Make the most of them, Paul says. Build relationships in the body of Christ and outward. Be filled with the Spirit and sing hymns, songs, spiritual songs, into the lives of one another. What you've been doing to Jody and me and to our kids, do to one another. And we as a body will grow in reasons to give thanks to God for all that He is doing in our midst. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit,